All right, so I talked earlier about where I met this guy, Michael Nitti. I met him over the weekend, last weekend, when I was in Las Vegas at a wealth creation seminar, and you know, things that hold people back. And Michael was a great guy. He was actually in town, so we got to meet him personally, and he gave two presentations at the event and that I was attending. But at the same in Las Vegas, the same time I was out there attending my event, Tony Robbins was there with how many thousand people? I can't remember what they said. Some outrageous thousands of people at his conference. So Tony's still being Tony and still gathering lots of people, and I love what he's doing from a perspective of helping people believe in themselves, because you know, we're created to make a huge difference in this world, and there are things that hold us back. And Tony really enjoys Michael Nitti and has him speak at his conferences, so just so you know, he comes with great kudos, and I never heard of this person before, but I fell in love with what he taught. It's something that's that was something I'm aware of, and was able to, you know, sit there and absorb it. But I love the method in which he taught it. So hopefully you guys will gain something from the concept of the trophy effect. And the trophy effect is he actually developed this himself. He invented this, but it's important for us to know that what it's about is about our own capacity. You know, every single one of us was created to create greatness. We have the capacity to do great things in our life, and it's about, you know, figuring out what holds us back. And I gave you a quote up front: he who knows others is wise, he who knows himself is enlightened. And that's the concept here, is to really get to know yourself better, see what are the roadblocks we've planted in our own lives that are part of perhaps even our human nature, which is what we're going to talk about today. We have a lot of subconscious forces that cause us to feel validated when we do something wrong, yet relatively resistant to positive valuation when we do something well. Does everybody relate to that? And this kind of sets up what the trophy effect is. Okay, so I want to read just a little bit about it. He says, in fact, the tendency to catch ourselves not measuring up is so strong that even if you had just graduated from a major university, married the man or woman of your dreams, or were standing in front of an audience being lauded by your peers, there's a very good chance that you wouldn't allow yourself to feel too good about it, nor allow any praise to sink in too deeply. So what is this subconscious force that causes us to feel validated when we do something wrong, yet relatively resistant to positive validation when we do something well? That's the trophy effect, okay? It's an innate subconscious force that causes human beings to focus on their shortcomings rather than on their accomplishments. Anyone on this call relate to that? As a result, we tend to be inclined to feel more doubtful than hopeful and are more likely to give up on things rather than stay the course. So the trophy effect, he invented it years ago, and he wrote a book about it. So you can get the book called The Trophy Effect. And it really helps you empower yourself on a daily basis, because it's all about fundamentals of human nature, our underneath stuff. If you master this, you're never going to forget what he's teaching in his book. It helps us get unstuck from what it is so that we can feel free to move forward and create the greatness that we were intended to create. So we look around and we look at the people that have really been successful in network marketing, and we can always look at and we can envy them for some reason, or we say, well, how did they do it, or what did they do? They controlled that subconscious thinking that really is self-destructive of us. And the trophy effect is really that process. It's you need want to master the trophy effect, because we tend to reward ourselves and honor the things that are wrong and limiting ourselves, holding ourselves back. That's what we tend to do. And when we have accomplished greatness in our life, we tend to mitigate that impact. So what is the truth? So let's talk about that. Winners, we can examine that. What makes us different? Why do I just keep doubting myself? Why do I allow fear in my life? Why do I allow myself to hold myself back? Because I feel like I really can do Manatech, but there's something that always comes up that holds me back, and it's coming from my subconscious. I have something inside me telling me I can't do it, something inside me presenting fears, roadblocks for me to accomplish what I want to accomplish in life and be the greatness that I was called to be. There's the secret belongs in this. There are only two ways of showing up in any given moment. The rest is just filtered emotions. You're either living on purpose. In other words, you're showing up with an intention of something. It's the most powerful way that we show up. We live on purpose. We step into the things in total purpose to accomplish. A lot of it's with greater good in mind, because most of us are created with that inside of us. We haven't been tainted by the world, or we haven't been, you know, evil isn't something we're born with. It's something that's created in our environment. So we have goodness and greatness that we're surrounded with, and we have this powerful way of showing up to be living in purpose. When you're in this state of living on purpose, you're feeling good. You feel like you're in the flow. You're in your heart. It's where we find our greatest joy. When we're there, we wonder sometimes, how long will this last? We pray it lasts forever, because it's that feeling, just unstoppable feeling, and we feel like we're in this incredible aura of just everything tends to go our way. Some of you can relate to this. You can go back and find times in your life that this is what's happening. Some of you feel like it's happening today in your life. Some of us feel like it happens every day in life, because we're always at choice to be stepping into living on purpose. We're responsible, and as he says it, we're really bringing it. In other words, we're bringing our all. We're fearless. There's almost a state of fearlessness that we just step into it, and it doesn't matter. We don't care. It's not about worrying about what might happen. There aren't concerns and worries, and we don't feel threatened. We just are doing it because, you know what, we're in the flow. We know it's our calling. We're pursuing it. We're going after it. We're not allowing, like, we could even take this, like, looking at Manatech, doing our Manatech business. I'm doing it every single day. I'm making the phone calls. I'm in the flow. I don't let negativity. I don't let corporate negativity. I don't let downline negativity. I don't let crossline negativity. I don't let the world around me be too negative. I'm not spending time in news, whatever your political persuasion, none of that's going to impact me, because you know what? This is what I'm called to do. I'm in the flow. I'm staying positive. I'm going forward. I know I can create greatness. I'm living on purpose. Get it? Stopping blocking things around us. That's one way we can live our life. The other way is in reaction. And we really easily fall into it. We don't call it reaction. We call it, oh, there's worries around us. We call it being, we have a lot of names we call it. We call it, well, I want to be in the know. I want to make sure I have knowledge. I want to make sure that I am on top of what's happening in our world. And we fall into the traps of things around us. A lot of people today are living in fear around what's going on politically, or we're in fear around what's happening around us, or we're in fear about the world economy, or we're in fear about what's happening in our own environment, or we're in fear about guns, or we're in fear about this, and we're in fear. So whenever we're in that, we give it funny names. We want to call ourselves, well, we're intuitive, we're intellectuals, we're this, you know, we're politically active. We put all these things on it. We don't call it reaction, but we, in effect, fail to own that distinction. We tend to put on it, Mary Jo, it's just life. I'm just living life. It's a state of acceptance. Wow. It's a state of surrender is what it is. You would never be in any negative emotion if you're living on intention. Negative emotions always are found in reactionary. We're on reaction. So not good enough, which is one of our number one fears that everyone holds. We're not good enough. We're not good enough. Or I can't do it, our number two fear. Not good enough, can't do it, all right? Or a fear of not being loved. So we have to look a certain way, act a certain way, be a certain way, because maybe people won't love us unless we're like that, right? We have these fears that run our life. And we spend a lot of time, 95, 99% of our time is spent in reaction instead of what? Instead of living life on purpose, we get stuck in this reaction. Our subconscious is what controls us. We allow our subconscious, because we have a conscious mind and we have a subconscious mind. Our subconscious mind has one thing in mind. It has to do with what? Protecting us. Feedback based on what we have fed into it. It's all about protection. It's all about preventing us from being hurt, protecting us from something that's an unknown, scary, things that, and it stores everything that we've fed into it. So as we've grown up as kids, when we had a negative thing happen, our subconscious says, kind of goes, told you so, that wasn't going to work, you know, you stretch beyond your ways, you can't do it, you're not good enough. All these things we've been feeding that subconscious, and all the subconscious is something we've created ourselves through our life experiences. There are some people that actually live this life here on earth without ever living on purpose state. Most of us have experienced it sometime in our life. Some of us experience it a lot because we understand this trophy effect, even though we may never have heard it called this before. And you'll find out why he calls it trophy effect. But the idea is it's about fighting that subconscious, fighting the concept in our head that we're not good enough or the fears that we carry, and being able to live on purpose, just really clarify and say, I'm not listening to that. I don't care what's in it, overriding what we've stored in there over the years until we finally dissipate and restore newness into that, because we really have more control over our subconscious than we think we have. We just allow it to take control because, why? Because it's, quote-unquote, safe. We put some kind of safety net in there. I'm afraid of being hurt. I don't want to get wounded. I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to be scared. I mean, I'm not good in all this stuff, this garbage talk and stuff that goes on that we've stored that just keeps coming back and forth. So the idea is, you know, I put a quote in here from Deepak Chopra. He said, every time you're tempted to react in the same old way, like some of you even talking about winning a Manatech incentive, you're going to, oh, I can't do that. What? Where is that coming from? That's not living life on purpose. It's reactionary. We're living like a reactionary. And there truly are people out there that have never experienced living life on purpose. So every time you're tempted to react in the same old way, ask if you want to be a prisoner of the past or a pioneer of the future. That's a great quote. Some of you ought to put that on your computer screen and look at it every day as we... What?
Say it again.
Every time, Lydia said, say it again. Every time you are tempted to react in the same old way, ask if you want to be a prisoner of the past or a pioneer of the future. It's a great quote, and some of us need that every day in our life. The first thing we need to do to really get this whole concept, too, is that we have to make an assumption. Do people really want to, do they really want to be in the first state all the time of living on purpose? We want to assume that people want to live on purpose. We want to live purposefully. We want to live directed and driven to create greatness around us in our people's lives. Don't we want to live on purpose? I want to live on purpose every moment. But, you know, even people that you might think of and look at and say, wow, that's a person living on purpose. You know, Tony Robbins lives on purpose, right? I mean, you can see some great leaders out there, great people that are doing a lot to make this a world a better place. They're living on purpose. But even looking at all those people, making the assumption that people want to live on purpose is stretching. Because there are people that go, you know what, Mary Jo, I just want to live safe. I go, whoa, wow. It's an option. It's denying the world to really experience you and the greatness that you have. But that is an option people have. But we're talking about us choosing to live on purpose, us choosing not to live from reaction. Michael talks about it. He says, I live in intention 99% of the time, he says. He refuses to live in reaction. So how do we do that? What's a way to do that? Well, first of all, when you recognize that you're living in reaction, when you start self-doubt, when you start saying, I can't do that, or I'm not good enough, or people won't like me, or people won't accept me, or, you know, I want to be loved, and we have all these things that are pushing us in this other direction. You need to recognize that you're placing these own limitations. Your subconscious is in control. It's out there to protect you, and it's winning the battle of quote-unquote protecting you from being the greatness you are. And when you recognize that, you just go, stop it, and you opt out of it. You got to recognize it happening and stop and opt out of it. Move it aside. Quit believing it. Say, stop it. You're actually talking to yourself because the subconscious is going on all the time. It was built to protect you. But it's protection of you is what's holding you back, because it's protecting you from being the greatness that you have. You follow? It's not supporting you in creating the greatness. So we need to develop inside of us a greater love in our heart and a greater love for the greater good, and to look at what we can create as human beings. And it doesn't matter if you're 10, 20, 50, 80, at any age in your life, you can shift and start working on living on purpose. Instead, living in reaction. So we need to step into it. Sometimes we need to step into a leader mode. We need to start saying, I am more powerful than I could ever imagine. So step into intention in regards to what? Sometimes that requires stepping into the leadership role, stepping out. Fear. The minute we step out, what happens? The minute we take over leadership position, what happens? Fear sets in, and whoop, there we go again, back into reaction. We allow fear to control us. How can that ever be right? It can't be. Because we're falling into a trap of living based on our subconscious in self-protection. Reaction is a default setting of being a human being. It's a default. We get out of bed in the morning and it's a new day, and we step out. We have this intention of creating something. And then guess what? Then the thought about work comes in our mind, and there we go. We let it go again. Because it's scary. Sometimes it's an unknown. So we choose to play life small. We live in reaction. And we're afraid of what people might think of us. Oh, there we go again. Fear. We're allowing fear. I'm not good enough. Oh, what a lie we tell ourselves. But that's our subconscious working, because it's out there to protect you. And why do we have this? Why, you know, some people go, so why do we have this subconscious? Why do we allow this to program? Why have we programmed it? Why did it program us from day one? Well, a lot of our programming didn't come from us making it up from the time we were born, but a lot of it comes from parenting, behavioral parenting. You know, like, I know that the family I grew up in, my parents, you know, were both very driven people, and it was like, be the best you can be, and they ingrained in us that we all can get straight A's, and you know what? 3 out of 4 of us always got straight A's. Why did that happen? Because we were programmed differently. We were programmed that way. And people say, well, because you're intellect. I don't know that we were any different than anyone else. We were just programmed to believe we could do anything. Notice the programming. It depends on the programming that we had. So our subconscious thinks at a different level because we're programmed differently. So can we reprogram ourselves? Does that mean my family was different than yours? Does that mean that we were trained in a different way? Well, we might have had a different upbringing, but the idea that can I still step into reaction? Absolutely. I see it, because what happens is things in life happen to us that cause us to get into a reactionary state. And we start losing belief in ourselves when something doesn't work out a certain way. Guess what? That's when belief starts. We start shattering our belief, and then all of a sudden our subconscious goes, oh, I've got to protect you. I'm going to protect you. because self-protection is one of our number one guiding forces in our life. But why do we start up that in a reactionary state? Why do we fall into a reactionary state? Well, first of all, we're animals. We're mammals, which means we have a survival mind. Our purpose is to perceive threats, right? Our purpose is to perceive threats. What threats are out there in our environment? And we need to survive through these events. It's a biological process. But we have an opportunity to, what, opt out of those. So when we were young in our early life, we're trained that any threat to our ego is a perceived threat. So we're conscious of looking for these and reacting to them. So if we have something out there that a perceived threat, just even running for office when you're in grade school or high school or junior high, it's a perceived threat because, oh my gosh, expectation, it could be a threat to my ego. What if I fail? All this stuff. What if I fail? I'm not going to work towards winning the incentive because what if I fail? People will look at me. If I put the stake in my ground and I go, I'm going to win this incentive, which Mary Jo did in May, I said, I'm going to win the next incentive. And I did this for years in Manatech. The last few years I kind of gave up on doing it, and I just said, you know what, I'm going to win the next incentive. I put the stake in the ground because there's no doubt in my mind I was going to win the incentive. Because I know I have unlimited capacity to win the incentive. And each and every one of you have the same thing. So what was I countering? I was countering any kind of perceived threat. I was countering anything in my mind that would tell me that I can't do it. Because everyone has the brain that's going to go, the subconscious that's going to try to protect you from failing. Well, if I say it and I don't do it, well, what do you mean you don't do it? Not about not doing it, it's about just making a choice and going and doing it. And don't allow the subconscious to control you, because then you're always living in reaction versus on purpose. In early life, we're trained any threat to our ego is a perceived threat. So we're conscious of looking for these and reacting. We're looking to threats to our ego and looking on how to react to them. So we're living in a reactionary state, not one on purpose, not one driven. So perceived threats, huge. The second reason we fall into reactionary state is the fear of not being good enough. We also have our second greatest fear is fear of not being loved. So we're fear of not being good enough. If you fear something, you're always going to focus on it. We self-create. So if we are afraid of not being good enough, guess what? We're going to focus on not being good enough. What a sad state of affairs. That's why affirmations and affirmations are so powerful, because it's reprogramming a subconscious, not allowing our subconscious to be in a reactionary mode and a protective mode, which just prevents us from being the greatness that we are. The power of the subconscious is overwhelming. So why do we let it control us? Because you have this concept of being safe. We want to be safe. You want to live safe? Better safe than sorry. How many of you have heard that statement? Oh my gosh, what a bunch of garbage. What a bunch of garbage. Does that make sense when you're about to walk into a zoo and whether you want to get into the lion's cage or not? Yeah, probably better to stay out of the cage. There's instances like that where it makes sense. But we use that phraseology to apply towards, oh, better be safe than sorry. Oh, there's 10 people at my church that I should share Manatech with, but what if they reject me? Better safe than sorry. You get what we do? We start applying it to everything in our lives that just keeps holding us back from being the greatness that we have within us. We fear not being loved. It's more important to be loved and liked than it is to be successful and overwhelmingly impactful in this world. Our mind is about survival. We have a survival mode. We want to survive. Our basic instinct to survive. Why not have a basic instinct to thrive? Forget the survival. If you look at successful people, they don't even think about survival. It's not even a thought in their head. They focus on thriving, not surviving. You look at people not successful, they focus on survival. How do I survive? How do I just get by? Not how do I create greatness? We allow fear, not being good enough, not being loved. What if people don't love me? It's okay. I don't walk this earth worrying about somebody loving me. I just dedicate my time and energy to being as great as I can be every day. How can I contribute? What can I do differently? How can I help these people? How can I help this person? How can I coach this person? How can I make... That's my life. If people don't love me, it's okay. I'm not here. I'm not here to go out and get people to love me. I'm out here to be as successful as possible, to make the biggest difference I can make. Will I fall on my face a number of times? Absolutely. But you know what? So far, I can scrape it back off the ground and get up and strive again. Failure is not an issue for me. Doesn't matter. Down 8 times and get up a 9th. That's the concept. So once we discover that we're stuck in reaction, as some of you are relating to this in a huge way, how do we shift out of reaction? How do we shift out of it? Because you got to recognize it when you're in reaction, when you're living life in reaction, when you're settling to live life in reaction. How do we get out of it? How do we get an intention? Well, typically we feel bad when we end up in reaction. It's like we've sold out again. We're not going to do it. We're not good enough. We fall into that whole thing. And every time we do this, this is the trophy effect that he talked about, which is so impactful. Every time we sell out, every time we're not good enough, every time we don't grab onto it, every time we don't win an incentive because we try for a week or two or a month and then we just go, oh, that's too hard, and we just give up. Every time we do that, every single time. And how many times have you done that in your life? Just evaluate that. There are countless times that people have spent living their life. Some people, they've lived their life in reaction their whole life, not living life on purpose. And every time we do that and we sell out on something, you know what your subconscious does? Your subconscious does this. Oh, I'm a winner. I protected you one more time. Because your subconscious is there to protect you, right? So I protected you from losing. I protected you from, you know, failing. I protected you. And you know what it does? This is what Michael talks about in the trophy effect. You get another trophy for being protected. Another trophy is awarded. Your subconscious is awarded another trophy because it's won again. It's won out in its battle to protect you and keep you safe. So you get another trophy. So what happens is we built this trophy room with all these trophies. Every single time you didn't feel good enough, your subconscious awards you, oh, I've protected you again. Because if you would have done that, you could have failed and you're not good enough. And so I've won out again. And it rewards another trophy. None of the things it's saying is true, right? None of it's true, but the mind is surely writing on that trophy, another trophy. So you're getting all these trophies. So you consistently adding trophies to the trophy case. I'm not good enough. Oh, another trophy. Your mind is thinking, I win because I've protected you one more time. I get another trophy. So you have this trophy room set up in your brain, in your subconscious. And it's all about the shortcomings that you've never accomplished, all the things that you never did in your life, all the things that you might have failed at or didn't accomplish or didn't even attempt to accomplish, and you have all these trophies. So every time you look at the trophy room, how big is that trophy room? How many times have we let something go that we could have accomplished that we didn't do? How many times have we, you know, set out for something and just gave up on it because it was scary, because we weren't good enough, because, you know, we weren't loved enough, because blah, 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 we weren't lovable, all the things. And we reward, your subconscious gives you a trophy because itself a trophy because it protected you. We've created this monstrosity of a trophy room. How many trophies are in that room in your subconscious compared to how many trophies do you have in your conscious mind about success? And when we start weighing the trophy room for protection, I'm not good enough. I'm glad I didn't try that because I wouldn't have been successful. Or I fear being loved, so I'm not going to get involved in that relationship. Or I'm not going to put myself out there because I fear failure. Or all the things, and your subconscious rewards you consistently for that behavior because it's all about protecting you. How many trophies are in that room? Now compare it to the other trophy room. We have another trophy room with everything that we ever did that was great. All the accomplishments in our lives. How many trophies are in that room? You see what happens? We tend to detract from all the positive accomplishments in our life. We tend to downplay those things. And so we have a trophy room of all the greatness in our life that has one or two trophies that we even can recall. And yet we have this monstrosity room full of trophies for all the protection that we've had. What is outweighing every decision in our life? We have this huge negative trophy room. And it burdens us because it weighs us down, and it tends to support what? The continuous behavior in that direction. So we have this tug of war. And intention wins only if we focus on compelling outcomes. So we want to start living with intention. We want to start living with a state of, I want to live on purpose. I want to live with intention. So we need to start focusing on compelling outcomes in our lives. We need to disband the trophy, discard the negative trophies, quit living from this concept of protection. And I'm not talking about life and death protection, people. It's about protecting you from what? Oh, it might not work out. Oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, the relationship's not worth it. Oh, they're never going to love me anyway. Oh, all this garbage that comes out of our subconscious because we fed it over years and years. So we need to get rid of that trophy room of all the negativity and start building on and focusing on building the greatness of who we are and focusing on all the great accomplishments that we have in life and really valuing them in a way that we've never valued them before. And start putting ourselves in a position because, you know, the reality is we can choose every single day of our lives. We can choose to love others. We can choose to be in joy every day of our life. We can choose to live on purpose, to reach out for our greatness. Our survival side has been in charge of our life long enough, so just stop it. Your survival isn't threatened. It just gives you an excuse not to move forward. It gives us support for the fears that we might have, that we're not good enough or we're not loved or we're not going to accomplish something or we're going to embarrass ourselves or blah, 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 all the garbage that we've keep fed ourselves over and over again, building up our trophy room. You are not your mind. You are not your subconscious. He was laughing at the end of the presentation. He said, this is what the monks spent 20 years wandering in the wilderness to figure out, that we are not our minds, right? So acknowledge that. Opt out of living in reaction and start living on purpose. Because that's really where we want to be. That's where all the greatness is that we have to offer. That's what the world is willing to or desirous of hearing from us and watching us create is the greatness within us. And I'll close the talk today with the following quote. There is no passion to be found in playing small, in settling for a life that is less than you are capable of living. That's a quote from Nelson Mandela. So let's start living life on purpose, opting out of living life in reaction, and empty that trophy case that we have filled with so much garbage. You are greater than you could ever imagine. So let's start playing out in our greatness, not in a protection mode of survival. Okay, people, that's it for today. Any comments, questions?
Thanks, Mary Jo.
You're welcome.
It's always inspiring to remember where we used to be and want
Amen.
To get back to that point. So,
Amen.
It was great. I read your outline before you talked, and just getting to hear you speak again about it. You know, remember what
great.
It used to be like. Get back there.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, probably when you were a little girl or something, right? I mean, where was that? Where is that incredible anything is possible attitude?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's just
exactly.
about really, yeah. But we and it's that the reason I fell in love with the speaker. It wasn't that I didn't recognize these things in personal growth seminars and things like that, but I loved his analysis of how our subconscious protects us, and then we build this trophy room. We have all this stuff that we keep pouring into it to justify our behavior, and we just keep giving ourselves new trophies all the time. And we're not really doing it consciously. It's subconscious, right? But it's about protection.
Yeah, that subconscious mind is so ever-present, and it's so powerful. And
So why don't we use it to create power, right? Yeah. Yeah. The beauty of it is, why don't we tap into it to create greatness instead of limit us? That's the real victory of life.
Isn't that the whole point of that title, The Power of the Subconscious Mind?
Yep, you bet.
Nope. It is a powerful thing that we need to recognize.
Yep.
The great
Amen.
People, the great thinkers and inventors and
yep.
successors, that's what
uh-huh.
they tapped into. They figured it out. And
yep.
And we need to share that with everybody, the kid.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mary Jo. Powerful insight today.
Yeah, good. Great. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah, it was powerful to me. I just had to go forward.
Me too.
Yeah.
Mary Jo, this is Carol. You just described me to a T. Absolutely to a T.
Really?
So
yeah.
Very, very much.
Yeah.
I want to go back to this again.
Great, great. And go, you know, you can find Michael on the line if you want to buy his book. I'm sure it's available somewhere. It's on Amazon. You can get it off Amazon. It's powerful. It's not that I didn't learn this other places, but his presentation of it was just overwhelming. It's about how we play life safe. Oh, we're safe. You know? Wow.
To understand the other people in your life, you're able to recognize that this is where their mind is at.
Right. Well, and understand that you can't, you know, I can do this on a Monday call because all of you know me and you know my heart, my passion. If you go out there and you try to share this with somebody you just met, you're going to have a hard time convincing them or really walking them through. Right? But it's wonderful information to share with somebody you've known for a while or that you have a relationship with. And, you know, you could even gift them the book. I mean, you'll find people because the majority of our society lives in safe. They live their life in a reaction mode because it's scary. I'm not good enough, or that's not my calling, or maybe people won't like me, or I'm not loved. Right? You get it? All those things, that all this garbage that we've just been programmed to believe. And don't beat up on yourself about this, people. It's our normal subconscious state to protect us. But that's why we keep... Yeah, go ahead.
the question that really is so bold and hits you in a way that really makes you want to review where you are is asking, do you want to continue to be where you're at? In other words, do you want to be a prisoner of your past, or do you want to be a pioneer of the future? Are you willing to take a risk?
Yeah.
And be who you
should
absolutely
should be.
And live the fullness of who you were meant to be.
Right.
And here's something for all of you to think about. Never, when you start thinking that way, in your mind, what is your subconscious going to tell you? Oh, come on, you're too old to make a shift now. Look at where you are in life. How can you redefine yourself? Blah, blah. This is what your subconscious will tell you. Over and over, it will come up like that. Trust me. I've dealt with people this way, and they're like, oh, I'm, you know, too much in water under the dam. Oh, my life has spent this. Maybe people won't like me. My friends will. They won't understand my new approach, and blah, 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 and I'm too old to change. And this is the garbage that comes out of your subconscious. And I want you to fight that every moment and just say, be gone. Because you know what? Here's a reality. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. And you can choose differently. You can choose differently. Is it a little scary? Oh, man, it's scary. It's all get out, but what a blast.
Mary Jo?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Martha.
Uh-huh.
Last week I was able to do some work with a minister about some issues from my past, and there's a scripture that says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So
amen.
We talked about some issues from my past, and I just imagined, you know, what Jesus would have done during those times, during those issues. And so I wrote down concerning what you have here on your outline, that I can destroy the trophy room with Jesus helping me, because the trophy room and negative messages are lies. Start paying attention to and add to the positive trophy room that I have. See Jesus in it smiling at me and feeling well pleased, seeing more and more trophies being added and placed by me and Jesus with joy and celebration.
Amen, Martha. You got it, girl. That's exactly what it's about. Amen.
That's better, not me trying to do it by myself or thinking I'm going to do it by myself, but, you know, just I picture just turning over the money, the tables, you know, and at the money changers, you know, and there is a time for righteous anger, and that just helped me. I want to hear it. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah, yeah. And sometimes righteous anger is something good we need to address towards ourselves, right? we need to be angry. Yeah, and it's okay to be angry with self. But don't live in that, because really today, this moment, is the first day of the rest of your life. So don't look back and hold regrets about any part of your past. Just create the greatness you're called to create today and move forward. Yeah.
Right. If we feed that, the other will starve out.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And don't, you know, again, that subconscious is still there. It's there to protect you. It's there to keep feeding you lies about, oh, you don't want to do this, or you're not good enough, or they're not going to love you, or blah, 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 blah. Garbage. Self-protection. We've built it that way. Guess what? It's still there. We got to quash that. Quash that, because it's a bunch of lies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Thank you.
It is. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. We're our greatness is beyond what we can ever conceptualize. And it's about, okay, I'm going to step in and fulfill that in my life. And I don't know where it's going to lead me, but you know what? Bingo. I'm out there. I'm doing it. I'm living life to its fullest. I'm going to create greatness. I can do anything. And we know that. You all are created with greatness in your life. So, all right, guys. Love you. Great call. Love you guys. I'm just lift you all in prayer, and I just know you can create greatness, so let's go out there and do that. And whatever that looks like in your life, there's so many areas that you can do it, and maybe some of you are going to leave this call this morning, and you might just, you know, get on a phone call with somebody that you've left out of your life for years and said, you know what, I value you, and I love you, and I just want to tell you, I'm sorry I left you out of my life because I value you. And you might start with baby steps to move your life forward in a way that just captures the greatness of who you are. You're greater than you can ever imagine. So begin to step into that. And don't let that little voice ever convince you otherwise. It's just, you don't need protection. Amen. Okay, love you guys. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, Mary Jo.
Bye.